Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to the Computer Guys. I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're the Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. Wednesday afternoon, 12:30 here. We'll be on for the next half hour, and we'd like to take your calls and questions or comments or whatever you might have for us here, specifically technology or computer-related. Best way to do that is give us a call, 395-1450. We'd be happy to help. Or if you'd rather, just send us an email.
It's computerguys@whtc.com, and we'll be checking that throughout the show as well as throughout the week. So if you're at a computer, computerguys@whtc.com, and we will do our best to get to it on the show.
That's right, Kev. Don't forget the podcast.
Yep, two ways to get that. Apple iTunes, if you have it on your computer, WHTC into the music store. Just do a little search for that, and we'll pop up. You listen to our show that way. Or you can just go to our website. It's macatawatechnologies.com. And right on the homepage there, there's a link to get to the podcast. Either way, check out old shows, this show, or anything else. And go check that out. And yeah, listen to the show.
I think I killed the WHTC computer here, Kev.
Uh-oh.
Pushed it a little too hard.
It's got cranky.
It's a little old. Yep. We'll just say that.
Time for an upgrade.
It's a little old.
Time for an upgrade.
So, Kev, we've also got some news stories, of course, here today.
Lots of news. Always lots of news. Anything earth-shattering this week?
Well, you know, earth-shattering, I'd say no. But, okay. You know, the Kindle, of course, from Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, before that, Sony made an electronic reader as well. And it was nice. It just wasn't quite as popular. It was a lot more expensive. Maybe didn't. I don't remember what all the reasons were. But it just, you know, wasn't as well known.
Sure.
Well, so Sony now, this is a Wall Street Journal alert that I got. Actually, this morning, this popped up in my inbox. Sony plans to announce two new e-reader devices priced at $199 and $299. The move to compete in the lower end of a burgeoning market increasingly dominated by rival Amazon.com. Sony also plans to cut the prices on best-selling e-books in its online store to $999 from $1199, matching the discount price offered by Barnes & Noble's FictionWise and Amazon for users of its Kindle.
You know, that's kind of weird because I just don't know. Would you buy ebooks?
I would.
Would you pay $9.99?
If I was going to pay $19.99 for the hardcover.
Yeah, but at least you have something.
Well, that's the only weird thing is that Amazon, a couple weeks ago, one morning, they just removed all of the books, the electronic books that they'd ever sold to users that were written by...
Oh, yeah.
1984 guy.
Orwell?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so people got mad.
They did.
One person ended up suing. I don't know if that's been resolved or if it's pending or what, but he was pretty upset that somebody went and just took that away.
Well, you know, Kev, you used to buy books and they were yours. You could lend them to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could sell it if you wanted or give it away. And then they have book sales on used books for fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
Now... You don't really buy the book.
No.
According to the license you have, it's like...
rights to read it.
Right. Which is a little odd.
Yeah.
So, you're right. I don't know. I think that they're going to have to update
their
model.
Think about like used book sales, where you go to a used book sale and you buy a bag of books for, I don't know, $1, $2, something like that. What are you going to go do? Buy a bag of... ebooks. I mean, you can't resell an ebook.
Right. Well, that's the thing. That's a little weird. So, you know, would I buy one? I would. But I also think that they're going to have to change the agreements back to where it's like you own it again.
Yeah.
Or I don't think it'll become as popular as it could be.
Well, that and, you know, the reading device, you know, I don't own a Kindle. And it's cool. And there's some stuff that it does well. But for me, I still like the idea of I can take a book, I can throw it in a bag. I can take it to the beach. It gets all sandy. No big whoop.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm be quite so comfortable with my Kindle.
Well, the prices will come down.
You know, even at that, though, you know, it's a tiny little computer. I'm not sure I'm just going to lay it down in the sand or throw it in my bag. Nah, you don't want to get sand in the thing. Then it'll probably stop working. So
maybe they'll have to come out with the beach version.
Maybe totally ruggedized and all that. And someday, we'll see. I don't know. I'm not ready to make the switch quite yet. I like it. I think it's cool. You know, and it has to exist before anything else can come. So, you know, it's necessary.
So anyway, Sony's be on the lookout for that if you're looking for something other than...
Did that have a name? The Sony...
Well, I think they just call it the e-reader.
E-reader. Okay.
I mean, there's not a lot of them.
Sure.
It's just a new e-reader device, the Sony.
Okay.
I'm sure if you told any store that might carry it what you're looking for, they know exactly what
Sony e-reader, please.
And what else did we have here? Oh, this is one, Kev. I get daily statistics from Harvard Business Publishing, and they're pretty interesting. This one is from August 4. It's called Not Just Your Kids' YouTube.
Ooh.
62% of adult web users watch videos on online sharing sites like YouTube, compared to 33% in December 2006.
It's pretty big.
89% of 18 to 29-year-old web users watch videos on video sharing sites. 36% are likely to watch on a typical day.
Okay.
So what that says is that adults are going on YouTube. You know, it used to be just thought of as that's where the kids went and put their funny videos. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube other than funny videos. And even the funny thing is, I remember when YouTube was just starting out, Kev. You remember that back in those days?
Oh, yeah.
I used to go there and think, this is the dumbest site ever. Because they're, like, even the promoted videos or, like, the user video, like, even the most popular ones, they weren't funny. They really were just sort of, you know, early on, I thought, oh, this is terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, obviously, it's changed a lot since then. But, 62% of adult web users watch videos, and 89% of 18 to 29-year-old web users watch videos on video sharing sites. So, I'm definitely not in the 36%, though, Kev, who watch it on a daily basis.
I go to
YouTube maybe once a week on average. I get directed
there. It depends on the week for me. There's some weeks that are big YouTube weeks.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise, I don't go at all. It's kind of like if I have time. If I have time, I get, sidetracked out of YouTube. Yeah, I'll watch it for a while. But if I don't have time, it'll be 2 weeks before I go check it out. So, but you do you still subscribe to the Best of YouTube?
You know, after I got a new computer that, for whatever reason, didn't carry over.
You haven't gotten around to...
And I've never gotten around to adding it again.
Because
you can go on into their website and just watch it whenever you want.
Sure. Yep.
But that was awesome. There were some really cool...
Maybe today you'll put it back on there.
That's right.
Think about that.
If you're listening, give us a call, 395-1450. The Computer Guys here on WHTC.
Yep. So I was getting my tires worked on this morning. I was there, and one of our customers was there, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and he was talking about, I'm thinking about buying a new laptop. So, of course, we had to start talking about computers, and I was telling him, hey, October, we've got Windows 7 coming out. So he's like asking some questions about that, and so we talked a little bit about Windows 7 and, got some more Windows 7 in the news. There was some benchmarks done this is off of ZDNet. They did some benchmarking between Vista Service Pack 2, 64-bit, Windows 7 release candidate, 64-bit, and then the XP Service Pack 3, 64-bit. Just some basic benchmark testing here. Good news is, Windows 7, this is, again, 64-bit, even the release candidate, not the absolute final, it's faster than both Vista and XP. For startup, for shutdown, for startup loading applications, bringing it up to the desktop, it basically, in all these categories, it was faster. Just so you know, the rankings, basically, Windows 7 was the fastest. XP Service Pack 3 was generally faster, second fastest, and then pulling in third was Vista. Now, there's a couple of them that Vista edged out XP on, but still, by far, Windows 7 was the fastest. So, good news, everything's going to be a little bit quicker.
And, of course, Kev, just announced by Microsoft, the locations of its first two retail stores.
That's right.
Speaking of Microsoft, the first one will be located at the shops in Mission Viejo, California, sometime in the fall. There's an existing Apple store at the location. How about that? Be interesting to see what happens. The second one will be located in Scottsdale Fashion Square in Scottsdale, Arizona.
I predict.
That location does not have an Apple store.
Day two, it's going to be a brawl in between the Apple
where they
and
fight
the Microsoft
between
store.
Them?
Yep. They're going to be taking laptops and smashing each other with them. And it's going to be like one of those big wrestling competitions between the, let's see, what do we have? The Genius Bar and the Answer Bar.
The Answer Bar, that's right.
It'll be hilarious. Look for that on YouTube.
According to Corporate Communications Director Kim Stocks. The locations were picked because they were hot markets, presumably, Kev, meaning high traffic. Definitely. Also, now this is the part that'll be interesting. The stores will sell laptops. It doesn't say what brands yet. Zunes, Xbox 360s, Microsoft, and third-party software. No details on which laptops were provided.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah, I don't know. You know, I was talking to somebody today who went to that Apple store for the first time again, and they are cool. It's an experience.
They definitely are cool.
They're definitely set up to make you want to buy, though.
Hey, that's what it's
kind of like for. You go to the grocery store and you smell fresh bread.
That's right. It's all a game. They're all playing with your mind. Read a book on that. Neural marketing. It's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. They're all out there to get you to buy their products. So,
well, speaking of buying iPods, Kev, goodbye iPod and hello iPhone.
Oh.
Apple has...
Is it official?
Well, Apple passed an important milestone. Apple passed an important milestone last quarter that nobody on Wall Street seems to have noticed. The iPod, once Apple's number one source of revenue, fell into third place after the Mac, which is number one, and the iPhone, which is down number two.
Hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
That is interesting.
I mean, think about that. There was a period of time where the iPod really...
It was king.
It was. I mean, that was all that, you know, everybody said, oh, the iPod's awesome. But, you know... Apple computers, they're a little overpriced. I really don't want one of those.
Yeah, it's true.
Or OS X, yeah, it's nice, but, you know, I'd stick with Windows.
That's right.
So now the Mac computer is number one in terms of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And iPod's number three. But, you know, at the same time, we were talking about the iPhone at work the other day, Kev.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that if I had an iPhone, I don't know how much I would actually use it to listen to music.
You know, it's fine. If it's only really the multitasking thing that becomes an issue. And since I don't own one, I'd have to see how it works. But that's the problems I've run into is how much can you do at once? It's a small screen. Yeah, you can jump between applications.
Well, besides that point, I mean, and again, by no means are you and I iPhone experts here.
Well, think about it. You don't.
But
really,
I'm just saying, like, in general, like,
it wouldn't be a replacement for what you use your Zune for now. Where it sits in a dock,
right?
Because that's not practical. You'd have to be somebody who carries it around. Like, let's say you're working out. It's only good for that, like the mobile side of things. You know, hey, you're in the car, you want to play some music. Perfect. Perfect for that. You know, you've got your phone with you all the time. Oh, you're going back and forth to work. Throw some headphones on, boom, good to go. It's not a replacement because, yeah, it's not going to sit there in a little dock by your stereo and play music. But think about it this way. Let's say it had a bunch of your music on and... all it had to do was be in your house and wirelessly you were pulling music off. Would you do it then? Because, you know,
maybe.
It's just got to be sitting around.
It was just sitting around, but.
Yeah. But then, hey, you get a phone call and whoop, it's interrupted. So, yeah, you may or may not use it.
So, anyway, we'll have to keep tabs on that because it's, you know, the iPod's definitely not going away. But every fall, we always have some new.
Yeah.
Apple hasn't released the new iPod stuff yet, have they?
I'm guessing they're going to phase it out. I mean, seriously, they're just going to convince everybody to buy iPhones. That's really what they want. So they're just going to pull everybody into the iPhone world. That's
well,
the goal.
Maybe one day.
You know, I love the idea of having everything on one device. I really do. And I try and do it as much as possible. But there's just some limitations. When you're trying to use your phone for GPS, listen to music, oh, it's fine. And then you get a phone call. Oh, dang. And then your GPS is gone. And that doesn't work anymore. So... you got to wait till you're off the phone and then you go back to your GPS. It just doesn't work. Not quite yet. They're not powerful enough.
It's a work in progress.
Yep, it's coming.
Well, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break here. You're listening to the Computer Guys on 1450 WHTC. Welcome back. You are listening to the Computer Guys here. Dave and Kevin from Macatawa Technologies. Kev, we've got another 15 minutes or so on the show here, so give us a call, 395-1450. We'd like to hear from you if you're having problems with your computer or questions in general.
Call now before you are subjected to more of us talking. So the only way to stop that is by calling in.
Well, they only give us a half hour here, Kev. So
I know.
Eventually it will.
I know.
We've got other stories, though, too.
Yep.
This is, I don't know if you remember this one, Kev. At one point we had talked, I believe this story actually made it onto the Computer Guys.
Sure.
And I'm sad to say we also were duped, along with many others.
Did you send money to Nigeria?
I did not.
Come on.
But we did say, at least we said, that this person was claiming this, and we all said we didn't think. We'll have to check the records, the archives.
Okay.
But anyway.
I didn't say that.
Is no Wi-Fi allergies.
Did we say that?
There are no Wi-Fi allergies. Well, we had reported about one guy who said that he was a DJ and that he was getting allergies from wireless internet.
I totally would have thought that was bunk.
Well, we'll have to go back.
Yeah, let's go back and check the record. We need to get a transcript out because there's no way I would have gone for that. Maybe you, but come on, me?
That's right. So it was
because if there were, you could definitely sell some Wi-Fi allergy medication. I have some right here. If you have Wi-Fi allergies, just call this number, 555.
Well, there was an English DJ claiming a Wi-Fi sensitivity. It was just a PR stunt to promote his new album.
Ah.
It appears that the stunt was highly successful, appearing in multiple high-profile media outlets like The Sun, The Telegraph, and Fox News. The article...
of course, Fox News would run with it.
So the article, there's an in-depth article online that goes to discuss the evidence or lack thereof of electromagnetic spectrum sensitivity. Because that's essentially what it is.
It's very fancy terminology.
Right. So I got it, you know, as far as, you know, it was dishonest.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, there have been a lot of questions.
Maybe.
Well, people a lot of times have questions. Well, is wireless internet bad for me? I've got it in my house. Is it going to cause problems?
Only if you sleep on your router. If you stick your router under your pillow, maybe then. I don't know.
But even then.
Maybe. I mean, the FCC does put limitations on this stuff. Whether that's, you know, I don't know how accurate that is. It's probably generally not designed to be, you know, slept on. But, and there's power limits. You can't go over a certain number. Otherwise, you know, it becomes illegal. Why is it illegal? Well, there's a couple different reasons. Some of those are health-based. You know, it's like when radar first came out, all the people who were involved in testing radar went blind and other weird stuff happened to them. So is there potential problems? Yeah, maybe. Can't rule it out.
You never know with technology. No. We were even discussing that about cell phones and wireless internet. Sure. They never really know right away.
We'll know more in 20 years.
That's right. It was kind of like my dad told me a story about when he was a kid, went down to Lokers to buy shoes in their kids.
Sure.
They had an X-ray machine where you could put your feet in.
Oh, yeah. I talked to my mom about that. They thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Who knows how much radiation they were exposed to. But then you learn, you know, that's how you learn.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's kind of like we have people who try to fix their computers or they run into certain problems and, you know, you just go along trying to fix it the best you can until eventually you learn.
You make a mistake right and then you're like, probably won't do that again.
That's right. Speaking of mistakes, Kev, last week we announced that China was no longer using shock treatment.
Oh, that's right. For what was that for again? Internet addiction?
Internet addiction,
yeah. Sure.
So, you know, in China, there's been a lot where, you know, well, we won't get into the politics of it. That's not this show. But, you know, they don't have quite as many freedoms as when it comes to the internet.
No.
For instance, well, There have been reports that one of the teens actually at one of these camps, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, there was a beaten to death by one of their instructors.
Whoa. For not
well,
being
there was
cured
just
of
a part
addiction?
Of the little boot camp thing.
Wow.
You know, so, but
a little more extreme.
According to the Wall Street Journal article, this says that China's Netizens have played a key role in drawing nationwide attention to recent cases of deaths in prisons and detention centers. So it should be no surprise that they are up in arms over the fate of one of their own. That's one of the great things about the internet. Although at the same time, like we found out about that DJ who was lying to us, you can also, it's very easy to spread false information with the internet.
Sure.
That's why we have Snopes.
Among other things. But we've talked about that many times. Snopes.com. If you want to go check out, say, that email that somebody sent you to watch out for this or watch out for that, or did you hear about that? Go there, check it out. And if you do find it's false, make sure you send them an email.
Well, that's the biggest
with
thing.
A link to the story so they can learn for themselves that, yes, that is not true.
I used to get a lot more emails of crazy stuff, you know, about your computer or who knows what. And you just go Snopes.com.
It's a great thing.
Check it out.
I'd like to... You know, that would be kind of fun to work for them. And I don't even know if that's one person who does that or a team of people or what.
Well, Kev, Nikon has unveiled a camera with a built-in projector. How would you like that for your birthday coming up?
That's pretty cool. Wow. That's got to be not real cheap.
Well, all the gadget blogs are covering Nikon's new $1,000 digital camera with integrated projector.
Huh. That's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
Trying to think about how practical it is, but needless to say, it's pretty cool.
It's gone from crazy rumor to seemingly real to...
Do you see it?
Well,
you have a picture of it? Is it big?
Let's see. I mean, because I've seen
the link. The new projectors are pretty small. They can fit in the palm of your hand, some of those ultra portables. So just to try and integrate that, wow, I bet it... Huh, interesting. I'm going to have to check that out.
Well, it's announced that it's going to be coming out in September.
Okay, just in time. You can buy me one for my birthday.
Is this $1,000? No, this is the S1000, PJ. So that's not the price. Sorry, the screen's a little... Text is a little funny here.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, that's kind of a cool idea. It's, you know, that's the one thing. With technology these days, you know, you say, well, the iPhone, it's just a phone. Well, it's actually a computer that fits in your pocket.
Sure.
Is this a camera or a projector? Who knows? But I tell you what, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
I also like these projectors that literally fit in the palm of your hand now.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. If you could fit one of those, you could just duct tape it to your camera. And then that's what you do. Make your own. Take your existing digital camera, duct tape one of those portable projectors to it.
Well, it's a 12.1 megapixel camera.
That's serious.
It does up to a 40-inch image for slideshows. So that's pretty decent.
That is pretty decent.
So that's a little better than the 3-inch LCD screen on the back where everybody crowds around and, you know,
I bet they'll integrate the projector into the next version of the iPhone.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? That would be cool.
So you
could
play all your content, movies.
Hey, it's just a matter of time before the iPhone puts either that or they flip the camera around to the front of it so you could do video conferencing.
Yep.
That's what I'm waiting
just
for.
Just a matter of time. Or they'll put a camera on both sides. You're going to have to do something like that because it's not going to be a real useful camera. If it's on the same side as the screen when you're lining up your photo, you're going to have to do either two cameras or two screens.
Or a camera of... A rotating camera.
There we go. The top part of it will flip around. Yeah.
Patented that idea. So that's if you do put that on the iPhone.
We just came up with the next 8 versions of the iPhone in like 5 seconds. And the thing is, you can release it every 2 weeks and all the Apple fanatics will buy it. That's the great part about it. So.
Okay. We're getting a little carried away here. Maybe it's time for a phone call here. Let's take this one.
All right.
Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the computer guys.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just bought a new printer, and my computer apparently, when I need to restart it, is wanting to start from the printer. Does it make any sense? It's trying to use the, I guess my printer has a card reader.
Oh, yep, it is.
Trying to boot from that.
Yep.
How do I fix that problem other than unplugging my printer every time I want to turn my computer on?
What kind of a computer do you have?
It's a Dell.
It's a Dell. Okay. Is it pretty new?
No.
It's
about 7-8 years old.
Well, what it's trying to do is it's seeing those, it probably has like a USB drive or not a USB, like a card reader on there on your printer.
I think it does.
Okay. What it's trying to do, the computer is trying to boot off of that.
Right.
What you have to do is when the computer very first turns on and it goes to that little Dell splash screen there, it's called the BIOS. You need to get in there and usually you push F2 or delete.
On most Dells, I think it's going to be F2.
Okay.
So when you push that, then it'll bring you into the kind of the brains behind the brains of the computer.
Okay.
And in there, you're going to want to look for startup or boot sequence or boot devices, something along those lines.
Okay.
And it'll have an order, you know, say primary boot device, secondary boot device, something along those lines. And you're going to want to make sure that internal hard drive or you're basically trying to...
You're either trying to change the priority to have it boot from the internal hard drive first, or in some BIOS it gives you the option to disable certain devices.
Okay.
And you want to disable the boot from USB option. So I'm not sure how comfortable you are going into there, but that's basically where you're going to fix your problem, is going in there and basically telling your computer to not try and boot from that external device.
Okay.
So if you're having trouble, you may want to, you know, ask a friend or something like that, hey, this is what's going on. Are you familiar with the BIOS? And somebody who knows kind of what they're doing can go in, just a couple of clicks, and take care of it for you.
Okay. Because I thought it was something...
Nope, it's not major.
On my hard drive.
No, it's not major at all. It happens actually kind of frequently.
Okay.
And in there, you'll find the settings to adjust that.
Okay.
So if you're having trouble with it, that's something we could help you out with at our office, too.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Yep.
People usually get a little nervous when they get into the BIOS because you can cause a lot of problems. I mean, yep. It's kind of the...
You make the wrong change in your computer.
You're not going to delete all your data or anything.
No, you just may not be able to use your computer until if you change something, it gets corrected. So remember what you do so you can undo it.
You know, actually, Kev, that's the second person who's complained of that in the last, what, month?
Yeah.
Can't say that I've ever necessarily noticed that before in the past.
I've seen it. It's a certain vintage of computer. Too old, not a problem. Too new, not a problem. You know, a little bit older, that tends to be a problem. So,
Kev, how about this? There's a new problem with Apple computers. Typically, we don't hear about viruses or anything like that. There's an Apple keyboard firmware hack that can actually, which is odd, but Apple keyboards are now vulnerable to a hack that puts keyloggers and malware directly into the device's firmware.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I guess I would never have thought of doing that or that you could even do that. I didn't even know that a keyboard would have firmware.
Well, it probably depends on the keyboard. But the interesting thing about that for like distribution, you could buy it, hack it, and resell it, and then have keyloggers in place wherever those get resold. So for that note alone, if you're going to be buying an Apple keyboard, you may want to buy it from a reputable dealer.
The question is how they distribute it.
Yeah, I know.
Red's wondering, too, how do you know if somebody has control of your computer for something like this? Well, first of all, Apple's in general, really you don't have to worry about that.
No, and that's not because they're inherently safer. Which is kind of a misnomer. It has to do with the fact that there aren't as many out there. So the people who want to exploit these things don't spend their time targeting Apple. They spend their time targeting the majority of what's out there.
Yep. The other thing is, too, what about for PCs? Well, PCs are a little more vulnerable.
Again, because there's so many of them, and the people who want to come up with this stuff say, hey, if we're going to do it, we're going to hit the biggest target. So that's why they do it.
One other thing, too, is that people have who have used tech support. Mm-hmm. It's funny because technicians can take control of your computer.
Yep.
And that's a little bit more difficult to know exactly if the computer is set up to have them controlling it. You know, if suddenly your mouse moves all around the screen. Sure.
We may have to talk about this in further week because we're running short in time. But thanks for tuning in today. If you weren't able to tune in, check out the podcast. Two ways to do that, Apple, iTunes, WHTC, into the music store, or go to MacIntyreTechnologies.com. Either way, you can get the podcast, listen to old shows, listen to this show, pass us on to your friends. If you weren't able to take your call, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland, 399 East 32nd Street. That's one block west of the corner of 32nd and 31.
That's right. Well, thanks again and have a great week.